Right then, I've got the cards ready.
Cards? Oh, dear, it's always the same with you. Whenever I come here, you insist on playing strip poker.
That makes it more fun, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose so, yes, but why don't you just say, go behind the screen and take your clothes off like the other doctor does?
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock and Joan Sims in...
No, stop messing about. Well, this week, as the last programme in the series, I've written out a little speech just here in my inside pocket. So, with your permission, I'll whip it out and give it a whirl. Unaccustomed as I am to any...
Hello, Ken.
Oh, what's wrong with you? You look as though you've just eaten your pillow. Down in the mouth.
I'm in no mood for jokes today. It's all over between us.
Aye?
Our affair, Ken. It's finished.
Well, I don't know about you, mate, but I guess I never even started. Here. Aye?
I'm talking about Joan and me.
Oh.
She's broken it off. Left me for another man. I'd take the coward's way out if I weren't such a coward.
Hello, boy.
Here she is, so brazen, flaunting herself in that low-cut dress.
Oh, Kenny. Kenny, I'm so excited I can hardly contain myself.
We can all see that. Thank you.
Bosoms are in this year.
Precisely in, not out.
Well, he likes my dress, so there.
Does he, indeed?
No, hold on a minute. Who's he?
Jezebel.
Funny name for a fella.
He is my new lover, and it's the real thing this time.
That's what you kept saying to me, sitting on your sofa with the lights down low.
All right, stop it. You've gone far enough.
Kept saying that as well. Goodbye, cruel world!
Oh, well, come on, now he's gone. Tell us, who is your lovely new fellow?
Oh, Ken, he's gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Tall and handsome and cultured.
Oh,
how well I remember the first words he said to me.
Well, he'll give the secret. What did he say?
As far as I recall, Mr. Williams, I said, hello, gorgeous. How do you fancy a quick snog in the back row of the Regal?
It's not you.
Kiss me. Oh, kiss me.
Put him down. Put him down. Put him down, woman. He's got an announcement to make. Go on, Don Juan. Get on.
Very well. Hi there, girls. This is your sensuous sex symbol of the 70s. Saying to you...
Stop hanging it out.
This week, Crackerjack and Ollie with Mother takes a trip up the Ganges. And with a joss stick behind her ear and a poppadom tucked in her dhoti, here's Memsahib Maud Nethersole.
Hello, tinies. And biggies, too. There was once a young elephant called Louise who wanted to be an air hostess on a jumbo jet. Well... One day, Louise was trying to convince a hippopotamus that he was travelling at 6,000 feet and would be shortly arriving at London Airport when she realised that someone was standing behind her. Never mind how she knew, she did. It was her childhood sweetheart, Tusky Roger, who joined the Foreign Legion to forget and been discharged because he couldn't. And he said... Louise, old fruit, that night when we held trunks beneath the banana tree, do you remember what we did? And Louise replied, honey, I'm a pretty pun. Yes, it was all very unfortunate, said Roger, but I think I know why we slipped up. We should never have peeled the banana first. And he led her off into the forest and taught her a lovely song he'd learned in the army all about coconuts. So now she doesn't want to be an air hostess anymore because she's found that it's much more fun on the ground.
One day an Indian musician came round
sit on. He sat down in a position which went quite a bit too far. He started singing a ballad which lasted into the night. I thought this refrain sounds like someone in pain, and I found when I switched on the light, I was right. I said, now don't overdo it. Put down that long thing with strings. Have a crumpet and please pass the cruet. And we'll chat about various things. But as you look so exhausted, before you sing your next song, if I might suggest, you should take a short rest, 'cause I don't think you look very strong. I was wrong.
So we come to our regular feature, Feeble Fables, and as we already seem to be in the Mystic East, we might as well stay there.
My name is Bucket, Edna Bucket. My husband and I were in Cahoots, a little town in the Middle East. We were on our treacle moon. That's the same as a honeymoon, only not so refined. Boom, boom. Before dinner, when there was a knock on the beaded curtain.
They are sound effects. Get out of that.
Clever.
Morris, get that, will you?
But I'm not dressed. I can't open the door in my combination.
Well, turn round and I'll have a go.
No! See you, witches.
It's an Eastern gentleman. I've seen him before somewhere. I don't know the name, but the face is familiar.
Greetings to all and sundry. Monday, Tuesday, and then.
Honestly, though, no. For the last show, you'd think they'd try harder, wouldn't you? Don't they get paid as well for writing this rubbish? Not just the honour of working with me.
Oh, what are you saying, sir?
Well, I don't think we've had the pleasure.
Well, you should know it's your honeymoon.
How do you do? My name is Bucket. M.T. Bucket.
What can we do for you?
Madam, I am here to tell you that my master, the Shah, has seen you in the marketplace and admires your fragile beauties.
Does he?
He does. And he wishes to purchase your wife for his harem. He said to me, here's a ducat, go buy bucket.
But I understand he has 365 wives already.
Yes, but next year's leap year. He wants to complete the set.
But she's my wife. She stood at the altar and said, I do.
I did.
And by golly, she does.
But not with any shah, I don't.
I didn't sleep at all that night, wondering what dreadful consequences would be caused by our defiance of the Shah. Suddenly, another knock on the beaded curtain. I put on the light and there he stood, a fine figure of a man, bronzed and handsome, with a flashing smile. And as he looked at my Edna, he squared his massive shoulders and said...
I know.
Beautiful man, standing there in your flowing robes, flashing your scimitar.
Put it away, it'll do you no good here.
Stand back, bucket.
Not so much of the bucket, I've got a handle to my name.
Please, do not fight, for I too love this stranger. I shall follow him to the four corners of the earth.
No need to go that far. I'll set for the one corner of my tent.
Now, you can't leave me now. We're on our honeymoon. And I booked two seats on tomorrow's Shadowbank tour at Casbah.
No, Morris. I must go with him.
But I'll be on my own. You'll ruin our holiday because of this potentate who's hardly got two brass farthings to rub together.
And the moral of this week's story is...
Don't spoil the trip, pray for the Shah.
And now, looking on the bright side, but facing the wrong way, here is our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse, partner, and I don't want to say anything.
You can't have finished.
I haven't started. Say anything to cause distress to my listening loved ones. But the fact is, my lady wife keeps getting these phone calls from the Archbishop.
Really? Is he a close friend of your wife's?
Well, hardly, because we live in Wimbledon. We're verging on the common, you know.
Well, never mind. And I'm sure that wouldn't bother the Archbishop.
No, it doesn't seem to. And any trouble is, it isn't really the Archbishop at all.
How do you know?
Because it's me. If I told you that I ring up and say, "Hello, this is the Archbishop speaking," what would be your response?
Amen.
Pardon?
Oh, never mind. But why do you do it?
To try and save my marriage. You see, in a boastful moment, I promised her that I'd be the Archbishop by the time I was 30.
And how old are you now?
41. And they haven't given me an interview yet. I daren't tell my wife.
Of course not.
No. That's why I keep calling her from a phone box to say that Clarence J. Mouse partner will be top of the list when the job falls vacant. I'm beginning to think they've passed me over.
Have they been in touch with you at all?
Well, they did send me an appeal for the rebuilding fund, but that hardly constitutes a definite offer, does it?
Hardly, no.
And I couldn't afford to send much because I just bought one of those long cloak things and a hat, like a tea cosy. As a matter of fact, I wore them yesterday when I phoned my wife.
It must be rather awkward getting into a phone box. I suppose they help to add authenticity.
Yes, they helped get me in the front of the queue as well. While I was talking to my wife, something rather upsetting happened.
You didn't excommunicate yourself?
Oh, no. But this vicar poked his head round the door and to cut a long story short, now I've got another little problem.
What's that?
Well, next Sunday I'm preaching the sermon at Westminster Abbey.
Statistics tell us that less and less people are having birthdays, which seems a pretty good reason for not listening to statistics. Luckily, quite a lot of people don't. For example, take Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Change, of course, but don't think I want to do it again.
Oh, but the neighbours are all looking forward to it. I mean, Mrs. Ogden says it would give her great pleasure to hold the ladder, dear.
Well, I dare say it would, but last time I strained me back. So this year I'm not hanging that Union Jack on the TV aerial, even if it is my birthday.
Oh, but we must do something, Sid.
I might shove a spotlight under me ornamental urn, Rita.
Oh, no, Sid. I mean that return for the fruit up at the fruit luncheon. There were some very nasty comments last year when I was laying it out in the spin dryer.
Well, I'm not surprised. I had a ball of fluff and a button in mine. And this year, if you're going to put whelks in your vollavent, I'd take them out of their shells first.
Well, as soon as they've all got their forks, Sid, we're having sausage toad on our Putney High Street with an egg custard on the side for them as can't chew. And for afters, we'll all have a nice Macedonian soup.
Oh, no, Richie, you're not inviting a lot of foreigners.
No, dear, a Macedonian of fruit.
Oh!
It's sort of a compost. Then we all join hands and sing Auld Lang Syne, dear.
Oh, I hope I won't be next to your sister Glad. Oh, when her beads start bouncing up and down, I always forget the word.
After they've all gone and we're alone, I've planned a little treat for you, Sid.
Oh, Rita, not the same as last year.
Well, I thought this time we'd do it a bit differently.
Oh, you don't mean...
Yes, dear, I'll dry up and you can wear the Kiss Me Quit apron.
And now we flood the air with a melody brought to you by that well-known shower, the Maxi-Length Harris Male Voice Choir.
It's Bona to open up your ink and sing.
It's Bona to hear the Omi voices ring
in harmony. And my friend here has got a vital bit of news for all our fans.
Vital?
Tell them about our Omi Voice Choir Festival, Ducky.
Shall I?
Yes, go on. Tell them where we've decided to hold it.
The Isle of Man.
Brilliant, isn't it? Brilliant. His idea. Brilliant.
I wanted the Isle of Dogs.
Oh, what a location. Shut your mouth. Oh, what a location, Ducky. And for them living in Crouch End, there's a bus leaving at 2:30 on the Friday from the Working Men's Club. Tickets in advance from Mrs. Winifred Hoist.
Yes, hello, in love. In advance, yes, because on the actual day she'll be driving the bus.
She will, if she passes her test in time.
Oh, she'll pass, love, sure too. Her instructor's an old mate of mine.
That's what's worrying me. You never passed yours, did you? Not the driving one, anyway.
Well, I needed more lessons.
You had 420 of them. Be having them still if he hadn't put his foot down.
Oh, yes. Right on my slingback wet looks. Oh, I was cross.
Yes, you was cross.
What about this week's musical offering?
Well, Chuck, we've been thinking a lot recently about Fred Mendelssohn.
Felix, you're Fred Nana.
Oh,
not Fred.
They say whenever Mendelssohn sat down and played, his mum would always interrupt and say, let's have a sing song.
She'd sing, we'll get the lilacs and some Julian Slade. And then she used to talk all through his spring song.
Oh, shame.
Shame.
Shame. It's a lovely little piece, his spring song.
It is, Ducky. It's nice to hear the spring song springing.
Nice to hear the birdies singing.
It gives you, so to speak, a smile upon your eek.
The Omis and Pernones, they dance round in a circle. Remove their shirts and then their pants and...
Hey, hang on. Hang on. It's a spring song, not a striptease, Duckley.
Oh, shoot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That last accelerando carried me away.
If you go any further, you're going to be run in, you are. Now, come on, get back to the song.
Yes. And so, when we invited Mendelssohn to tea, we said, we want to hear you play, so please don't bring your mother.
And as this is the two of us, my friend, and me, to even up the numbers, bring your brother.
He's nice.
And now it's time for the Smith Report. In this edition, the Smith Report investigates the entire world. Is it just going round in circles? First, what are the views of an expert?
As a member of the world community, I must confess I've changed my mind about sex. Perhaps it is a good thing, after all. All these live-bodied, full-bosomed young girls walking about in their short little dresses, flashing their thighs. in the summer sunshine. And so I say, up with miniskirts.
Several films have been released this week, all set somewhere in the world. Our first excerpt reveals the true reason for the famous St. Valentine's Day massacre.
That's for not sending me a card!
Our second excerpt takes place in the frozen north, in an Eskimo's igloo.
My son, sit on my knee. I will read you a nursery rhyme.
Thank you, Daddy.
Little Jack Horner sat in the corner.
Daddy?
Yes, my son?
What is a corner?
Next, a cottage in the Welsh valleys. An anxious mother receives a phone call from her daughter, who has left home to go to London.
Hello? Gareth, it's our daughter, Bloodwen. You've moved from where you were, dear. Because you were in the family's way. Oh, best thing then. You're in the club. Oh, nice for you then, meet other people. You've got what? Oh, shan't keep you then if you've got something in the oven. Bye-bye. What a relief, Gareth. I was so worried she'd get herself into trouble.
And so, finally, in the Smith Report, our massed cast of three, join me in our anthem, which is a plea for laughter, happiness, and friendship throughout the entire world. Will everybody please rise?
You'll make more friends if you can show.
the last in the present series of Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims, and Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.